Shavuot Tov, Chodesh Tov. We're on page Peites Amud Beis, and after a little bit of introduction, we'll start six lines up from the bottom of Peites Amud Beis with Kahadi Omer Rav Nachman. And just to review, there was a dialogue between Rav Yosef and his Talmud Abaye, in which Abaye proved to Rav Yosef that he himself, Rav Yosef himself, had presented Shmuel's Shita, that Mechitzos She'eno Nikaros, Shma Mechitzos. And therefore, if you have a gag on top of a building, the walls of the building itself, if we apply the principle of God Asik Mechitzos, serve as Mechitzos, separating one gag from the other. And when Rav Yosef transmitted this halacha to Abaye, he had mentioned diurin, which Abaye understood to mean that if there are diurim lamala, that makes it into what's called a mechitza hanidreses, meaning there are people that are constantly, a wave of people walking on top of the roofs, going from one roof to the other. That's called a mechitza hanidreses. And for example, in the case where you had a larger building with a larger roof, contiguous to a smaller building with a smaller roof, then Shmuel was quoted by Rav Yosef as saying that only in a case where the diurim zel zeh, people are walking back and forth from one gag to the other, from the guttle to the katon, back and forth, then in that case, the gag katon is asur because its mechitza is called a mechitza and addresses, implying that if ein diurim zeh al gabi zeh, meaning there are no people flow of traffic walking back and forth on the surface level of the gagos from one gag to the other, in that case, shneim mutarim, even the gag katon is mutar. So Rav Yosef, when he hears this from Abaye, he denies the whole story because he thinks that Shmuel could not possibly recognize and apply the principle of God Asik Mechitzos to what's called a Mechitzos Sheini Nikeres, something that if you're standing on top of the building, you would not visually see the Mechitzos. But rather, says Rav Yosef, what I meant to speak about was the problem of the katan, because it doesn't have gipufe. The gadol has mechitzos, and even though at the point of contact between the smaller roof and a larger roof, it's open, but that's not called a pirtzof, it's less than eser amos, because from the perspective of the gag ha-gadol, you see the gipufe, as we discussed last time. From the katan perspective, you don't see the gipufe. Now, Abaye reminds Rav Yosef that he had mentioned the word diurin, and the assumption was that diurin were the people, the flow of traffic from one gag to the other. That's what undermines the status of the mechitza between the two gagos, because it makes it into a mechitza nidreses. And now, Rav Yosef has to respond to Abaye and try to explain what he meant if he, in fact, said the word diurin, and to reinterpret that word in its context. So Rav Yosef presents the following thesis, that what he meant by diurin was what's called a mechitza re'uya ledira. And a mechitza re'uya ledira is going to be a valid mechitza. And what is this distinction between a mechitza re'uya ledira and one that's not Ruya Ledira, and what is the relevance of that discussion? So here Rav Yosef introduces a concept called Saliku Nafshayu, that if one of these two Balei Batim, meaning Balei Abayis that own either the larger house with the Gag HaGadol or the smaller house with the Gag HaKotel, one of them chooses to set up what's called a mechitza re'uya ledira. And what that means is they set up a ladder that is established in a permanent way. That's called Ba'ofen Kavua. And that ladder gives them access to the Gag. Now, again, on top of the roof, you have many, many different homes, each having their own roof, and they're continuous one to the other. If one of the various Balei Hagag decides to set up this Mechitza Haru'il Adira, and the others do not, then the premise is Siluke Nafshayu, which means that those who own Gagos but have very difficult access to those Gagos because they did not set up a Sulam, a ladder, they are being mochel, they are waiving their rights to the Gag in favor of that one Balabais who set up a Sulam to the Gag. And this is where we left it hanging on Yom Chamishi. We want to pick it up today. So let's take a look again, six lines up from the bottom of Peites Amud Beis. Kehad Yomer Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman made a statement that's predicated on this principle called Siluke Nafshayu. Asa Sulam Kavua Legago. We'll call him Reuven. Reuven sets up a ladder from the ground level up to the roof, making the roof accessible to Reuven. The other homeowners that have contiguous roofs up on top, Gagin, they did not set up Sulamos Kvuim, these permanent ladders. Hutar Bechol Hagagin Kulam. That Reuven who set up a Sulam Kavua now has carte blanche, rights to use all the Gagos on top. How is that possible? Each Gag is owned by someone else. He has his own private ownership over the Gag. And the answer is that Rav Nachman is applying this principle of Mechila, of Siluki Nafshayu, which means that the other Bali Agagos were mochel, their rights to use the Gag, their own Gagos, each one individually, on behalf of that one person who set up a Sulam Kavua. He set up a permanent access to the Gag. Now this statement of Rav Nachman applies even to the Chachamim in our Mishnah at the beginning of this parak that we studied, who prohibit carrying from one Gag to the other. But if one of them sets up a Sulam Kavua, and the rest, the balance of the owners of the Gagos, do not do so, they don't follow suit, then they are setting up a Mechila on their Rishus, and as a result, it's all one Rishus. And the Gag now belongs to one person, and that's that one Reuven, as we called him, who set up his ladder, his access. This is the interpretation of Rashi, and the Ritva also supports Rashi. The Rashba is wondering about this whole thing. He says, what do you mean, Rashi, when you interpret Rav Nachman as making a qualification of the Iser of the Chacham, the Shitas Chacham, that when did the Chacham prohibit you from carrying from one Gag to the other? That's only in a normal case, but not in this exceptional case where one of them set up a Gag. Well, the Rashba doesn't like this because we don't paskin like the Chachamim. In this case, we actually paskin, as the Gemara is going to establish, like Rabbi Shimon, that you're allowed to carry from one Gag to the other. And therefore, there's no need for this siluk, lahalacha. So that Rashi and the Ritva, they're interpreting and very, in a sense, restricting this statement and ruling of Rav Nachman to reflect dafka the shita that we don't paskin like. And that's the Chacham Shalom Kehilchasa, to tell you that the Chachamim will allow at least one person to have access and carry to the other Gagos in that Metzius. But the Rashba would rather work out this statement of Rav Nachman in a way that it reflects the Halacha like Rav Shimon, who allows you to carry from one Gag to the other. So therefore, says the Rashbam, so the Rashba, that we're talking about a case in which a person wants to carry an object from his house out to his friend's Gag. Now, even though Rabbi Shimon allows you to carry from your Gag to the next Gag, but that's only with regard to Kalim Sheshavsu Ala Gag B'Erev Shabbos. At the onset of Shabbos, the Kalim were located on the Gat. In such case, Reb Shimon holds that you're allowed to carry and move these kelim from one Gat to the other. However, in a case where he wants to take out kelim from his house to his friend's Gat, even Reb Shimon would agree that that's Osur. Says Reb Nachman, okay, it's Osur as a general rule, but every rule has its exception. And the exception to this rule is setting up a Suam Kavua. And in such a case, the Bnei Agagos are mochel on their Rishuyos, on their ownership rights, so to speak, to use and benefit from the Gagos. As a result, all the Gagos now belong to Reuven, to one person. And in such a case, Reuven is allowed to carry kelim on Shabbos from his house out to his friend's Gag. And that's the way the Rashba wants to reconcile Rav Nachman, his qualification, and Rabbi Shimon, as we paskin like Rabbi Shimon. He ends up by saying, V'ilu heim asurim afilo hoti mibesam legagom. The other owners of the homes and the gagos are not allowed to carry even from their homes out to the gagos. And the reason for that is because once they gave up their rishus to Reuven, to this person who set up his sulam, therefore they no longer have those rights to use the Gag. Amar Abaye says, Bona liel gabi beso v'yosa lefaneo daka arba hutar b'chol agagin kulon. Abaye wants to take the principle of Rav Nachman and give it another application. Here's another case of a person who indicates that he wants to enjoy the benefit of the Gagos. So what does he do? He builds some sort of aliyah, in other words, some sort of access to the second floor. He covers and surrounds the Gag with mechitzos, and then he opens a door from that structure that he created on top of the roof that gives him access to the other Gagos, the Gagos that belong to his neighbors. And that's called a daka. Daka is a pesach, is an opening like a window or a door. And in this case, it has to have the width of 4 tefachim. And if it has the width of 4 tefachim, again, it should say arba. I don't know if you have the girsa arba or the girsa of arba. Because again, if we're talking about a daka is feminine, it should say arba. My girsa has arba. Anyway, whatever it is, once he sets up the mechitzos on this aliyah, on this little bias that he sets up on top of his house, on the Gag, on the roof, then hutar b'chol agagim kulam. And Rashi interprets once again, even according to the Chachamim, who say you're not allowed to carry from your Gag to the Yenem's Gag, nevertheless in this case he's allowed to. Why? Because he has access to all the other Gagos, because he opened up this door from his structure that leads him out to the other roofs. And the other Bali Gagos, they didn't do so. They should have also opened up some sort of an access way to their Gagos in order to sort of block Reuven, who set up his daka leading from his aliyah to their Gag, and they didn't do so. By their not doing so, there's a tacit agreement. Gilu datom, Rashi says, Shemei mochlim lo es hashimush begagoseyem. Again, all the Gagos now are considered omdim lirshuso shel Reuven, of that Baal Haliyah who set up the Aliyah with a daka that opens up into the Gagos, because they now, tacitly, by doing nothing, they implied Gili Daitam, their siluk, their waiving their rights to the Gagos, to him. It's another application of the rule of Rav Nachman. However, Rava wants to limit and restrict this carte blanche heter that allows Reuven, because he took the initiative, he set up this aliyah on top of his Gag with the daka, with the opening door. Not in all situations, not always is it absolutely true that Reuven, by doing so, gets access to all the Gagos, and all the Bali Agagos have been mochel their rights to Tashmishim on their roofs on behalf of Reuven. Says Rabbi Palmim Shadako Li Isur, I'm going to give you a scenario where Adarabba, the fact that he opened up a window or a door from his aliyah, from this house that he built on top of the Gog, on the contrary, he's indicating that he is not using the Gog. How so? Hechi dummy. And by the way, I wanted to point out to you that Rashi says now we're talking even according to Rabbi Meir, and how much more so according to Rabbi Shimon. Meaning, even though Rabbi Meir allows you to carry from one Gog, your Gog, to the next Gog, not in this case, says Rava, why? Hechi dummy. The avido lahadi tarbitza debesa. What he does is, he sets up his opening, his daka, not facing the other roofs, but facing the ground floor where he has a garden, a gina, and by making an opening from this aliyah to his gina, and he puts this opening on that side, not on the side that faces the gagos, then Amrinon, we're going to reinterpret his gili das. In other words, it's not a gili das that he wants to gain access to the roofs because he didn't set up the daka facing the roofs, but rather he set up this opening, this pesach, shepone letzad haginos, his gina, and therefore Amrinon. And here we're going to take a look at the top of Daf Tzadi Yom Aleph. Linature tarbitza hu de'avida. His goal and his agenda in building that opening was in order to see it as like a lookout. He's kind of looking out, he's surveying, perhaps he's overseeing his gina, making sure that nobody goes in there, or no animals attack, or perhaps he's just enjoying the benefit of the view of the gina. But he did not make this opening, this daka, in order to get shimush, in order to enjoy the benefit of his friend's gagos. He's really not in any way joining or stating his rights and his benefits that he wants to enjoy from the gagos. On the contrary, he has turned away from the gagos. And therefore, he would not be allowed to carry from his gag to his friend's Gog, even according to Rabbi Meir, who allows carrying from one Gog to the next Gog. Because here the siluk works in the opposite direction. Instead of the other Bali Agagos being mesalik themselves to Ruvain, because he built a Pesach or a Sulam to have access to their Gagos, and they did not. On the contrary, here Ruvain's opening, his daka that he structured, is a proof positive, it's an indication of Gili Das, that he doesn't want to enjoy the benefits of the other Gagos. Otherwise, he certainly would have set up an opening on the side that faces the Gagos. Clearly, he indicates that his opening is to serve as a connection between his aliyah, this building, this little structure that he built on top of his roof, and the Gina below, without any access whatsoever to the Gagos. Now that also implies that we would not apply Rav Nachman, which means that the fact that the other Bali Gagos did not create any sort of permanent access to their Gag, like a Sulam, Kavua, and so forth, therefore they were Mesalik themselves. No. They weren't Mesalik themselves, because in effect, Reuven was Mesalik himself from their Gagos. That doesn't mean that therefore they have to do an action to indicate that they want to take over their ownership and express their rights to benefit from their gagos. That's assumed. It's only in a case where one person, Reuven, built a daka in a way that he would have access to the gagos. Now we analyze and we investigate what did the other Bali Agagos do in response. And if they did nothing, that's an implicit, a tacit agreement or mechila, waiving their rights. Now, the sugya that we're about to start now, which is, of course, a hemshech, a continuation of the sugya that we began, and the question of carrying from gagos, from my gag to your gag, this sugya has what I call a curveball of Rabbeinu Tam. Now, this Rabbeinu Tam is at the end of Tosus Divya Maskel Ella, so if you want to already make a note of it, because it's very easy to miss Rabbeinu Tam, And this Rabbeinu Tam is one of those, I mean, it's almost typical of Rabbeinu Tam, a revolutionary understanding of the sugya, and we'll try to figure out what bothered Rabbeinu Tam in the sugya and what he understood the sugya to be talking about. What we're going to see now is a string of ibayos. The first bay is by Rami Bar Chama. And we're going to go back to the sheet of Rav. According to Rav, back on Samach Tes, you may recall that the Chachamim did not allow you to carry from your gag that is contiguous to other gagos. And this, despite the fact that there are no mechitzos that separate one gag from the other, because we're not even sure if Shmuel himself would hold that mechitzos sheni nikaros are called mechitzos. But certainly Rav is not going to recognize mechitzos sheni nikaros. But Rav holds that one gag, my gag, is parutz to your gag. There is nothing separating my gag from your gag. There are no mechitzos. And we have a principle called parutz b'malo l'makom ha'asur alav, generates an isur tiltul. And now the Gemara is going to bring a string of sfeikos within the context of the Shita of Rav. Boy Rami Bar Chama. We'll start with Rami Bar Chama. And the next one is Rav Bivi Bar Abai. So Rami Bar Chama wants to know the following. Shtei Amos Begag, Ushtei Amos Be'amut. If you recall, according to Rav, on your gag, you're allowed to carry up to 4 amos. That's the max. And now, Rami Bar Chama, at first glance, the Gemara is going to work very hard to understand this question, seems to be asking, can I, according to Rav's interpretation of the Chachamim, construct a combination, a combinatia, a combino, as the Israelis would call it, between the 2 amos on my gag and the 2 amos on my friend's gag that are contiguous to my 2 amos. Now we have to understand that basically, according to Rav, that you're allowed to carry in the Chachamim Shita, again, maximum 4 amos on your gag. It means that the gag, because it's parutz, l'makom ha'asur, has the status of a carmelis. A carmelis, as you recall, is permissible only up to, but not beyond 4 amos. Now, his friend's gag, likewise, is a carmelis. And although in a case of a carmelis, we're going to max out at carrying 4 amos, but if you have an object that's going from one carmelis immediately into the nearby carmelis, can we now set up a tiltal of a total of 4 amos? 2 plus 2, 2 amos in his gag, which is a carmelis, and 2 amos in his friend's gag, which is a carmelis. However, here we have to understand that Rami Bar Chama's suffek is a very difficult one. When he says mahu, what's the din, and whether or not you could consider that gag as continuous to the other gag to add the other 2, but notice that Rami Bar Chama adds another important variable into the equation of his suffix. And he says, be amut. So let's read it with the word be amut. It's not just shtei amos begag shelo and shtei amos begag shel chavero, because the Gemara is going to point out that in such a case, we have clearly a carmelis that belongs to Reuven and a carmelis that belongs to Shimon. If Reuven carries beyond his carmelis into the gag of Shimon, clearly, according to Rav's interpretation of Chachamim, he would be violating that Iser of taking something out of a carmelis into his friend's Rishus. Therefore, the 2 gagos, according to Rav, are considered 2 separate Rishuyos. And there's no way you can be matted tiltal from one rishus to the other. But rather, Rami Bar Chama's suffek was about a case of an amud. Now, this amud is not what you and I think of as a normal, you know, classic kind of pillar that all of a sudden rises up from the ground. But rather, this is an amud that is attached to the outside of a building. So you've got a building, and let's talk about one facade of the building. I'm not now discussing which facade it is. And there's an amud that is attached to that facade of the building. Again, it's clearly not part of his rishus. He doesn't own anything beyond, you know, the end of his gag, which is the end of his bias. He doesn't have rights to the amud. But maybe we could consider, according to Rabbi Barachomis Tzad, one Tzad, that the amud is like a rishus achas. It's like a continuation of his gag. Why is that so? What would give Rami Bar Chama the right or the idea in his mind to say that this amud, that's tzamud, that's flat up against his gag, again we'll call Reuven against Reuven's gag, would be considered part of the rishus of his gag? So we have to add, Rashi says, two other elements into the equation. Number one, the height of the amud, and number two, the width of the amud. The height of the amud is asara tfachim. Now again, it's hard for me to understand how it's possible that you have such a low building, such a low structure, that the top gag, the roof of that structure, is only 10 tefachim higher than the ground. But then again, for that, we'd have to learn Masechta Sukkah and see all sorts of types of small sukkahs. But anyway, here's the grant, what we're granting over here. According to Rashi, we're talking about a gag that is 10 tefachim from the ground. And immediately contiguous to this gag is an amud that's 10 tefachim from the ground. That's number one. Number two, the amud is 4 tefachim wide. That means that the amud, although it's standing outside of the house in a Rishus HaRabim, but nevertheless, it has the dimensions of a Rishus HaYochid. Now, if we could assume, again, I'm just making a great leap of faith over here, that the access to this amud is exclusively that of Reuven's, because again, as we said before, the amud is smack up against the back of, or the front, or whatever facade of Reuven's house. That means that Reuven has the exclusive access to this amud. There's no one else amongst the various Balei Agagos that could really enjoy the benefit of this amud. Now that we've established that the amud is Rishus HaYochid, the gag itself is also Rishus HaYochid, can we now, by virtue of the fact that there is immediate access from the roof of Reuven to this amud, that the flat surface on the top of the amud is a hemshech, it's like a continuation, it's Rishus Achas with the gag. And since even according to Rav, on top of your gag, you're allowed to carry 4 amos, can he carry 2 amos on his gag, and then the other 2 amos on top of the amud? And you might ask me, well, why is he allowed to go out of his own rishus into the rishus hayochid of the amud? And the answer is, because we're going to judge the amud as an integral part of Reuven's rishus hayochid, in this case, Reuven's gag. Or should we say, no, they're 2 separate rishuyos, and therefore he's not allowed to be entitled from one rishus to the other. Just like the Chachamim said, that you're not allowed to carry from your gag to his gag, because those are 2 rishuyos. Now, the amud, insofar as it's structured and it's built on rishus, on the soil, so to speak, the ground of Rishus HaRabim, it doesn't belong in any way to Reuven. He has no bailus over this amud. The amud now should be defined as a rishus hayochid lifnei atzmo, a separate rishus, and you're not allowed to carry from your gag, neither to your friend's gag, again, Rabin the Chachamim, nor on top of the amud, which is not your property. It's a little bit different than the case of Rav, because Rav is talking about the Isur being metaltil from your gag to Yenim's gag. Here, no one owns this amud. And moreover, if there's anyone who has shimush, who has access to benefit and be noach tashmisha from this amud, it's only Reuven. So should we consider the amud now to be a continuation of that same rishus of the Gag, allowing Reuven to carry from his roof onto this amud and up to four amos? That means two amos from his Gag, two amos on the amud, and that's what he's allowed to carry. Omar Rabba, Rabba says, could you possibly be asking such a ridiculous question? My kami boile. What are you talking about, Rami Barchom? Carol is Rishusayochid kami boile. Are you asking a question, which is every child should know the answer to this question, whether you're allowed to carry from a Carmelist to Rishusayochid? After all, the Gag itself, your own Gag, insofar as Rav holds that it's a separate Rishus, and you're only allowed to carry up to four Amos, meaning that they gave the status of your roof, the status of a Carmelis. The Amud clearly is a Rishus HaYochid. You're not allowed to carry from a Carmelis to Rishus HaYochid, just like you're not allowed to carry from a Carmelis to Rishus HaRabim, nor are you allowed to carry more than four Amos in a Carmelis. Certainly you're not allowed to carry from a Carmelis, meaning your Gag, out to Rishus HaYochid. So since the Gag is considered a Carmelis, the Amud is clearly Rishus HaYochid, it's Pshita. How could you even raise the possibility that you'd be allowed to be metaltel from a Carmelis into Rishus HaYochid? And again, as I'm going to try to present to you a thesis that Rabbi Nitav is not happy with this. But right now, this is the simple way of understanding the Gemara, that Rami Bar Chama's question is unintelligible. There's a definite Isur to carry from a Carmelis to a Rishus HaYochid. And by the way, that has to do with the fact that this area, on a Doraisa level, it may be called a Rishus HaYochid, but in Rabbanu we see it as a public area, because again, all these Gagos melt or lead one into the other. We see it as one Rishus that belongs to many different people, and therefore we give it a din of a Carmelis. It's like a Rishus HaRabim. We're afraid that if we allow you to carry from a Carmelis to a Rishus HaYochid, you're in effect, in the mind of the onlooker, carrying from Rishus HaRabim to a Rishus HaYochid. We can't allow that. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Bar Chama agav churfei lo iein ba. In other words, Rami Bar Chama had a different question in mind, but he was very quick and charif that he didn't formulate it exactly the way he wanted to formulate it. So the Gemara now is just changing a little bit of the language of Rami Bar Chama, but in substance, it's a very, very intelligible question. Elohachi kami boile shtei amos begag ushtei amos bach sadra mahu. Instead of a regular amud, which clearly would be a Rishus HaYochid, and you're not allowed to carry from a Carmelis your Gag out to a Rishus HaYochid, we're going to talk about an achsadra. What's an achsadra? An achsadra is a place that's structured in front of a house, and it has a roof. It is actually held up by four poles on each side, and it really belongs to the bias. It's like a hemshich of the bias. You'll see such a thing even today in Eretz Yisrael. It's quite common in sort of older communities. In the modern, architecture, you won't see it that much. But even if you go back, 10, 20 years, and how much more so if you go back 40, 50 years, you go to the... You'll see it all over the place in the smaller communities. You go to places like Chulon or Bat Yam, those communities, you'll see that there are amudim, there are poles or pillars that hold up an achsadra. In other words, they hold up an area that has a roof, and in essence, it's kind of like a hemshech. It's like an extension of a porch, or in this case that we're learning in Agamara, a roof. And you add this achsadra to the outside of a house, and since it has a roof to it, even though it doesn't have walls to it on that surround it on all the sides, the only wall that it has is the bayis, the facade of the house, because it's contiguous to the facade of the house. And now, one could argue that the achsadra, to some extent, belongs to the gag. It's like a hemshech of the gag. And therefore, shtei amos begag, ushtei amos b'achsadra, mahu. What's the din if he wants to carry the second two amos that he's allowed in his carmel, meaning on his gag, out to the achsadra? Mi amrinan, should we say, now we're analyzing this suffix of Rabbi Bar Chama, kema de lo havi chazi ledira velo hai chazi ledira chada reshusahi. We can now view the yachsadra as an extension of the gag and call it one reshus, allowing you to be metaltel two amos here and then the other two amos there. And why? Because it's not royal ledira. Right, royal ledira means that it has mechitzos that surround it on all sides. The achsadra has no mechitzos. The achsadra is only a place where you can go out from your porch and have a makura, you know, an area that is covered by a ceiling, which gives you shade, which gives you protection from the rains. And therefore, if you go into the achsadra, although it's not a dira, you know, that's not where you're going to eat and sleep and do all your tashmishei dira, all your diurin, but nevertheless, since it's not royal dira, that works in your favor. Why? Because that makes it exactly like the gag. What is the gag? The gag is sort of like an extension of the bayis. On occasion, you'll go up to the gag, and you'll enjoy the benefits of the gag. So too, in the case of achsadra, there are various kinds of benefits that you get from the achsadra. And we could call both the gag and the achsadra one rishus. And it's not like going into someone else's gag, which according to Chachamim, you're carrying from your gag to another person's gag. Because in the case of the other person's gag, that gag really functions or serves the bayis, the house below it. And that's a dira, so you have Shimon who's living in the house next to you, and his rishus goes all the way up, including the gag, and now we certainly have two different rishuyos, Reuven's gag and Shimon's gag, but not so in the case of achsadra, because in the case of a gag, you start with a makom dira, which is the house below the gag, but in the case of achsadra, it's not a makom dira. And here I want to add a comment that he writes in the name of the Rishonim. He says, "Af im nidonim heim kirshus achas." He says, let's not go too far. Even according to one sad in Rami Bar Chama's Suffolk, that the achsadra and the gag are considered one rishus, mikomakom, ein rashoy letaltuvim yosem yarba amos, sharei yishusu karmelisi. In other words, when we, according to the first sad in Rami Bar Chama's Suffolk, are integrating the achsadra and the gag, we're doing so because both have the status of a karmelis, and it's like one extension of the karmelis. Now, what good is it? What benefit do you get halachically by calling it the achsadra an extension of your karmelis? And the answer is, I can get up to four amos. If I only have a tiltal of two amos on my gag, which is a karmelis, I can now carry it another two amos into the achsadra area, and now I haven't carried in a karmelis more than four amos. And the Isur of karmelis is up to, but not below, four amos. O Dilma, what's the other tzad in Rami Bar Chama's Sofeg? Tekeva, the migag l'gag osir, is migag l'achsadra nami osir. Now, before I read to you the Rishonim, just to give you, I think, a superficial, intuitive understanding of what the Gemara is saying, it's kind of like a low plug halach, right? The Chachamim, according to our Mishnah, the Shitas Chachamim, not Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon, you're not allowed to carry from one gag to the other. Each gag is owned by somebody else. And once the Rabbanan said that you can't be metaltil from one gag to another gag, we're not going to make differentiations and say, well, he's carrying out to an achsadra. Why? Because, keep in mind, the achsadra is not privately owned. Even though, as we said and emphasized before, it's only Reuven who has access to the achsadra, because the achsadra is built attached to his house, but nevertheless, he doesn't own the achsadra. So, for example, if you're another neighbor and you, on the bottom of that building, want to enter into the achsadra and enjoy the benefits of the achsadra, like to protect yourself from the elements, then you're allowed to do so. You have as much ownership rights to the achsadra as he does. Reuven doesn't have any exclusive rights to the achsadra. In that sense, there's an overlap and a similarity between achsadra and gag chavero. Just like in gag chavero, the Rabbanan said you're not allowed to carry it to gag chavero. It's a separate rishus. And why? Because it's owned by those who live below the gag in the bayis, that's Shimon. So too in the achsadra, Shimon could enjoy the benefit of the achsadra no less than Reuven. And therefore the achsadra is a separate rishus. And it's included in the Iser Migag Lagag. He says the following. Madua Osur, this is the Rishonim. Madua Osur, L'taltil Migag Lagag, L'diri Chachomim. I don't know. Im HaTamu, let's assume that the reason for that is because Chaluka Satayor Mibabatim Lamato. Go Remes L'Chaluka Migagim Hagagos Lamalo. Or it could be that the reason for the Chachomim, and we'll try to explain this, is called Gag Shaykh L'Odom Acher. And Yesh Lesser Mi Gag L'Gag, because each Gag belongs to someone else. So again, he's offering now two interpretations, two definitions of the Iser Gag L'Gag according to Chachomim. One is to say that they are Chalukim B'Dira L'Mata, because each Gag is on the top of a house where people are living below the house, below the roof, in the house below the roof. So we see it as diurim lamata, and therefore it's a hefsek diurim lamala. But then the Chacham really begin with what we call diurim lamata. Their entire prohibition, their ruling, is based on the concept of diurim lamata. They're a separate diurim lamata, because each family is living in its own bayis, below the roofs. The other way of interpreting the Chacham is simply that you have two areas that are owned by two different people, and that's what separates them as two different rishuyos. The nafkamina is going to be the case of Gag L'Achsadra. If I go with the approach of Dirim L'Mata, there's no Dirim L'Mata in the case of a Gag L'Achsadra. And then we're going to apply the principle that you can carry up to four amas in a karmelis, and from, you know, you can construct the two amas in one karmelis and the other two in the other karmelis. And we're going to say that in this case, Reuven is the one who has access to the achsadra. The achsadra is a karmelis that borders and is a continuation of his gag, of his achsadra on top. I mean, of his karmelis on top. Well, we're going to say no. That although there are no diurim lamata, but nevertheless, as far as bailus is concerned, just like two gagos, Rabbonin say you're not allowed to carry from one to the other because you're going from Rishus HaYochid of Reuven to Rishus HaYochid of Shimon, so too, in the case, I'm sorry, but in contrast, this will not apply if you're talking about two different owners. I'm sorry, again, let me just make a, if the thrust of the Chachamim and the reason why they prohibit carrying from your gag to his gag is because of two different owners, that could apply equally well to achsadra, because you, Reuven, don't have exclusive ownership of the achsadra. It belongs to all the B'nai Abayis. But if, on the other hand, the Rabbanon are predicated on a different principle, and that's diurin lamata, that what sets up the gagos as separate reshuyos lamala, it's because it's diurim lamata. In the case of the Afsadra, there's no diurim lamata. And here we have Rabbeinu Tam. Ella, Beis Amos Begag, Ushte Amos Beachsadra. So let's see if we can He starts by saying, Pirsh Bekudris, Rashi understands that the suffix about tiltil from Gag Tachsadra is that the Gag belongs to one person, Al Gabi Tikra Shal Achsadra Shal Bailam Acherin, that the ceiling of the Achsadra belongs to other people. In other words, the whole suffix is there an Isur Tiltul, like in the case of Gag L'Gag, in the case of the Achsadra, because just like Gag L'Gag belongs to two people, so too the Achsadra and the Gag belong to two people. Even though, again, I don't think it belongs less to Reuven than it does to any of the other neighbors who live in that same structure, that have apartments. But nevertheless, you can't say that you own the Achsadra. Tosa says that this gag of the Achsadra, meaning the tikra of the Achsadra, is yoser mi beis hasayin. Right? We want to establish, in order to justify the possibility in Rami Bar Chama's suffix that you're allowed to carry from your gag onto the Achsadra, that the Achsadra has the status of a caramelist. What generates the status of Achsadra, the status of a caramelist in the case of the Achsadra? Says Tosfos, because it's Yoser mi beis sasayin. Because the width of the Achsadra, and therefore the gag, the tikra on top of the Achsadra, is more than a beis sasayin. V'havilei, therefore, the Gag of the Achsadra is a caramelist, no less than the Gag is a caramelist. And therefore, it's not Rishus HaYochid. Again, the whole point of the Gemara here, when it answers Shtei Amos Begag and Shtei Amos Bachsadra, is to avoid the case of Shtei Amos Begag v'Shtei Amos Begag. Because then, you'd be carrying from a caramelist into a caramelist. Or, to be more precise about it, you'd be carrying from a caramelist into a Rishus HaYochid. So in other words, if the second gag for the second four the second two amos is someone else's gag, then it has the status of Rishus HaYochid insofar as that person owns his gag. And therefore it makes no sense to justify, there's no way we can justify Rami Bar Chama's suffek, how would you be allowed to carry into your friend's gag? Your gag is a caramelist, his gag is Rishus HaYochid, and clearly everybody knows that the Rabbanim prohibited an exera of caramelist not carrying from a caramelist to Rishus HaYochid. So now, what we want to establish is that the Achsadra, which is the Gemara's reinterpretation of the suffix of Rabbi Mechama, is nothing less than a caramelist. Now, what makes the Achsadra into a caramelist? Tosa says the answer is that this caramelist is not a Rishus HaYochid. It has the status of a caramelist. Why? Because it's Yoser mi beis hasayim. Now, Tosis is now going to make an attempt to interpret Rashi in the same light. He says, Aval means it's not fair to judge the tiltel from one gag to the other. Well, I'm sorry, from one gag to the gag of the Achsadra in this case. But rather, he's being metaltel litoch Achsadra. In other words, what makes the Achsadra caramelist It's the inner part of the Achsadra, below the ceiling. Not the ceiling itself. The top part of the Achsadra is not a Carmelis. Why? Because a Carmelis is an area that's usable, but it's not L'shem Dira. No, it's even though you have this large area that's more than a Beis Hasayim in its width, but it has certain benefits. You know, you could use it for different things. They used to put Shomrim there, who would sleep there and get shade and so forth and so on. But nevertheless, it's not Hukaf L'Dira. It wasn't that the Mechitzas were set up for Dira. Is therefore Lo Ratza Rashi Lefaresh Deha Kevan De Makora, meaning the Achsadra is Makora. Rashi doesn't want to interpret it Lo Avi Carmelis Vameshu Yosef Yves Asayin. In other words, Rashi has a sugya, which is back at the beginning of Masechet Shabbos, that a karpav that's Yosef Yves Asayim, Shalo Hukaf L'Dira, if he sets up a roof on top, then it's no longer a karpav. Lo Ratza Rashi Lefarish Kein De Kevon De Achsadra Makora Lo Avi Karmelis Bameshu Yosef Yves Asayim. The Karmelis remains and retains its status as a Rishus HaYochid, even though it's larger than a Beis HaSayim. Kidu Muchach Beperek Osin Pasim, the Aminan Karpaf Yosem Beis HaSayim, the Kirabo Beis Sa, right, half of the Karpaf has a roof on it, so you don't have a Beis HaSayim that's Tachas HaShemayim, meaning that has no ceiling. And therefore, the part that's underneath the ceiling loses its status as a karpav. And therefore, if the achsadra, which has a roof on it, is considered an achsadra that's not a karpav, because again, to be in a karpav would have to be under the sky. But if it has a roof on top, then it doesn't have the status of a karmelis. This is Rishus HaYochid. And the essence of the Gemara now, after substituting the second two Amos of Gag for the second two Amos of Achsadra, is to set up the Achsadra as a Carmelis. And now what we're saying is that if this Achsadra, which is the way we understand Achsadra, it's Makura, then even if it's Yosef Yves HaSayim, it does not have the status of a Carmelis. So what, you know, so what is the suffix? Again, we're trying to move on to a next level to justify the suffix of Rabbi Bar Chama and establish that the second two Amos is a Carmelis, and he's carried from a Carmelis to a Carmelis, not from Rishus HaYochid to a Carmelis. We won't be able to do so by just simply expanding the area of the Achsadra to more than a Beis HaSayim if it has a roof on top. And that's why Rashi's hands are tied over here, because he has a sugya back at the beginning of Masechta Eruvin, and the Gemara says there that if a Karpaf, even if it's Yosef Yisrael, but he has a Tikra, then it loses its status as a Carmelis. So Tos says, Mi boile bi Achsadra, meaning, we're going back to the original interpretation that we're not talking about the inside below the Achsadra, but rather we're talking about the gag of the Achsadra. Dol Shayach Bey Kol Kach Kishem Shediurin Chalukim Lamata. In other words, that in the case of an Achsadra, and we're talking now on top of the Achsadra, meaning on the roof of the Achsadra, we're not going to apply the principle which generates the Iser of Migag L'Gag, according to Rav, of Kishem Shesh D'Yurim L'Mata, Kach Yesh D'Yurim L'Mala, because the less Bey D'Yurim Kol Kach, and that's what Rashi means over here when he says that it doesn't have D'Yurim. So again, according to Tosfos' interpretation of Rashi, it's not that we're saying that the caramel, that the Achsadra is a caramelist, and therefore Rabbi Bar Chama thinks that you're allowed to carry from your Gag, which is a caramelist, out to the Achsadra, again another two amas, which is a caramelist. No. We're going to say something different. We're going to say that Rabbi Bar Chama wants to allow you in one side of his Suffolk to carry from the Gag two amas into the Achsadra. And we're talking now about the roof of the Achsadra, and the reason is because there's no Kishem Shedayurin Chalukim Lamata. He says Kol Kach. You know, it's not so much. It's not absolutely similar to Dayurin Lamata, even though there is ownership on the Achsadra. But as far as who's living in the Achsadra, no one is really living there. Okay, we just have a little bit more to get to the Rabbeinu Tam. That's really what I'm trying to get to. And at this point, Tosfos is going to try to show how the first suffek of Rami Bar Chama leads into the second suffek. Trying to remember what did I say before? Just for this, for the record. The second suffix is going to be, Rav Baby Barabai. Okay. So Tosfos says that Ubasar Hachi, we're going to now have a sugya of Churva, are you allowed to carry from the Gag to the Churva, boy. Even if we're going to say that you're allowed to carry from the Gag to the Achsadra, or you're allowed to carry from a Gag to a Churva, the Chazya L'dira Tfei. In other words, we are more inclined to think that Kishem Sheish D'Yurin L'mata, Kach Yesh D'Yurin L'mala, in the case of Churva. Because Churva, the Gemara is going to claim, is Royal L'dira. Okay. Now, for Rabbeinu Tam Piresh, okay, the two girsos is another girsi of Rabbeinu Chananel Piresh. As what is Rabbeinu Chananel's or Rabbeinu Tam's understanding of Rami Bar Chama? Shtei amos begag. Dehavi rishus hayochid. In other words, on a Doraisa level, the status of a gag is a Rishus HaYochid. It's a continuation of the Dira Lamato, which is Mukaf Machitzos. L'chumra, we're going to call it a Carmelist, because they didn't make an Eruv with other Gagos. And it's Nifratz B'Melo L'Mokom HaAsulo, but that's all the Chumra of Carmelist. Ushtei Amos B'Amud Shehu Carmelist. So now we're going back to the original understanding of Rami Bar Chama's Safek, and the Amud is contiguous to the Gag. Now, wait a second. We rejected that because the Amud has a status of Rishus HaYochid. It's 10 Tfachim high, 4 Tfachim wide, and who would entertain the possibility that you're allowed to carry from a caramelist out to Rishus HaYochid or vice versa? And based on this, the Gemara rejected the original understanding of Rami Bar Chama that we're talking about an Amud. So Rabbeinu Tam is now going to reinterpret this suffix of Rami Bar Chama in the case of Amud. Shtei amos b'amud, shehu caramelist. What's going on over here? How can Rabbeinu Tam have the chutzpah telling me that the amud is a caramelist? The amud is Rishus HaYochid. So Rabbeinu Tam comes up with a curveball. He says, Eino gavoa yud v'rochav dalet. It has the width of 4 tefachim, but it's not 10 tefachim high. Anything that's above Gimel Tfachim, below 10 Tfachim, and has the width of four tefachim is a kavalis. Kevan she'eno gavoa yud v'hu rochav dalit. And now the question is, can he carry from the gag, which is a karmelis, out into the amud, which is a karmelis? The chashiva legag kirshus hayochid. Wow. He's turning everything upside down, inside out. We said the gag was a karmelis, and the amud was a rishus hayochid. And that's why the Gemara rejected this suffix of Rabbi Bar Chama. Says Rabbeinu Tam, on the contrary, Pugfakert, the Gag is Rishus HaYochid, and the Amud is a Karmelis. Why is the Amud a Karmelis? Because it's less than 10 Tvachim high, and it has the width of 4 Tvachim. But why is the Gag considered Rishus HaYochid? We always said the Gag was a Karmelis. V'hod HaChashiva LeGag K'Rishus HaYochid. Even though the gag is a caramel, is mishum de mahani bay eruv letaltel bekulo velo havi kishar kamus. So there's no such thing as an eruv to be matir a caramel. However, a gag is different. Rabbeinu Tam doesn't seem to be denying that a gag is a caramelis, but it's a unique kind of a caramelis. Now, what's unique about it? An eruv is effective to allow tiltil, bekulo meaning that you're not limited to four amos. You can carry it anywhere within the caramels. So again, just to try to get Rabbeinu Tam is saying that in the case of a gag and an amud, the amud itself has the status of a caramelis because it's less than 10 tefachim. The gag, although it has the status of a caramelis, we still believe that you're not allowed to carry from the gag to the amud, because the gag is considered like a rishus hayochid. You see, the chaf adimyon, he's not saying that the gag itself is a rishus hayochid. That's an impossible position, because we know the gag is a caramelis. Rishus hayochid allows you to carry from one end to the other. But rather, we're going to say that this gag is unique. It's not a regular classic caramelis because of the Erev business that we'll get to. And therefore, the fact that there is a possibility of carrying from one end of your gag to the other end, which is impossible in a caramelis, because caramelis only allows you up to four amos. Therefore, halachically, we're going to define and subsume this gag under the category of Rishus HaYochid. The contrast between Rishus HaYochid and a caramel is Mutal Etaltel Kulo O Osal Etaltel Kulo Ve'eno Mutal Etaltel Arba Amos. That's the main focus or the difference between a Rishus HaYochid and a caramel. Rishus HaYochid you're allowed to carry from one end to the other, and a caramelis you're only allowed to carry up to, but not beyond, four amos. What happens, says Rabbeinu Tam, if I have a caramelis that lends itself to a heter tiltul mi trilaso v'ad sofo beyond arba amos. Again, there are two questions we're asking. How could it lend itself to tiltul if it's a karmelis? And number two, why would we think it's a rishus hayochid if you're not allowed to carry in it beyond four amos? Clearly it's a karmelis. And the answer that Rabbeinu Tam is offering is Eruv. That since there's a possibility of Eruv, right, let's read it inside. Mishum de bahani be Eruv letaltil bekulo. And as we said before, what is the contrast between a Rishus HaYochid and a Karmelis? It's that in a Rishus HaYochid, mutl letaltil bekulo. Here's a Karmelis that theoretically, not in this case, could allow for tilta bakulo if only they had made an Eruv. In other words, the character of a karmelis is that it's kind of like an ownerless area. If you have an area that's like a chatzer, and next door you have somebody else's chatzer, you can create an Eruv that unites these two chatzeros. In the case of Gagos, his Gag is here, my Gag is here. We can unify and integrate our two Gagos through the mechanism of an Eruv. And that's going to allow me to carry on the Gag, not just up to four Amos, but the entire Gag, Kula, like a Rishus HaYochid. So in a sense, Rami Bar Chama's Safek is because there's an inner contradiction or ambiguity in the Gag itself. The Gag is like a schizophrenic, you know, it's like a two-headed monster, because the Gag itself has the characteristics of a karmelis. You're not allowed to carry more than four amos. It's a rishus that opens up its parutz to another rishus, ha-osra. But at the same time, even though it's a karmelis, it's very similar to rishus hayachid, because I can set up an eruv, like I can do in any case of two chatzeros that want to get allow tilta from one to the other, and they unify, so to speak, they get together and integrate into one Rishus to make it one long Rishus HaYochid through the power of an Eruv. That doesn't exist in a case of a Karmelis. The Karmelis is an open area. Everybody has access to a Karmelis. It's a Yar or a Bika, you know, a forest or a contiguous plantations and open fields and so forth and so on. People travel, you know, they go through this, walking this way, walking that way, but it's not a Rishus HaYochid in any sense. There's no one to make an Eruv here. You know, you can't make an Eruv on a Karmelis. But you could make an Eruv on two Gagos. You know, Reuven's Gag is next door to Shimon's Gag. And they'll get together and create one Chatzer, in effect, through the mechanism of an Eruv. Comes out that according to Rabbeinu Tam, the objection that the Gemara raised, fire and brimstone, against Rabbi Bar Chama, how could he have asked such a question? How could he have entertained the possibility that you cannot carry from a Gag into a Karmelis? From the Gag to the Amud. The Amud is Rishus HaYochid. For sure, you're not allowed to carry from a Karmelis into Rishus HaYochid. Now, we have, in the light of Rabbeinu Tam's reinterpretation, a mechanism by which we can reject the rejection. We can make sense out of the suffix of Rabbi Bar Chama. How so? Because the Amud is a Karmelis. No, if the Amud is a Karmelis, then you should be allowed to carry from the Gag out to the Karmelis, because you're allowed to carry from one Karmelis to the other. Notwithstanding Rashi Shita, that they're two different owners. Or the fact that there's no deer in Lamata. So Rabbeinu Tam comes up with a very original idea, which we're going to try to understand. And that is that the nature of the Gog as a Carmelist is a very, very strange nature. It's not really your classic Carmelist. And I'll prove it to you, because you cannot make an Eruv in a Carmelist. You can make an Eruv on the Gog. And that really means that the Gog, as a result of the Eruv, lends itself to carrying Bekulo. You're not limited to Dalet Amos. And therefore, it's not necessarily a Carmelist. See, I'll tell you what I'm thinking. If you don't mind, you know, musings of a madman, you know, I'm just going to try to make sense out of this. That maybe Rabbeinu Tam is saying that even though we have two gzeros in here, one gzera that you're not allowed to carry from a Carmelist to a Shusei Yochid or vice versa, and there's another gzera that you're not allowed to carry from Amos and a Carmelist, we're not necessarily going to apply both of those gzeros and piggyback one on top of the other in an overlap situation. Because if you're going to tell him that he's not allowed to carry on his gog, let me say it the other way around. If you're going to say that he's not allowed to carry from the Amud to the Gog, then basically what you're conveying to him is the impression that the Gog is a Rosh Hashanah Yochid, and that's why you're not allowed to carry from a Carmelist to, you know, to a Rosh Hashanah Yochid. Yeah, but then he's going to be mistakenly come to the conclusion that he can carry on his Gog from one end to the other. He doesn't realize that the reason why you're allowing him to carry from the Amud into the Gog is because they both have the equal status of a Carmelist. He thinks in his mind that the Gog is a Rosh Hashanah Yochid. And why, says Rabbeinu Tam, because it lends itself to an Eruv. But he didn't make an Eruv. So is there a possibility of suggesting that we have to worry here about the possibility that he's going to carry from one end of the Gog to the other, thinking it's a Rosh Hashanah Yochid, simply because you're telling him he can't carry from the Amud onto the Gog, because you're going from a Carmelist to Rosh Hashanah Yochid? Well, he's going to think, if it's a Rosh Hashanah Yochid, I can carry from one end of the Gog to the other. All right, we'll stop here because we ran out of time. But I want to see, you know, if you don't mind, I'm going to try to work on this Rabbeinu Tam a little bit further, because I think he's throwing a whole new set of variables into the equation. Okay, then, so let's see where we got up to for today. We're on Daf Tzadi Amud Aleph, and we're up to officially Amar Le Rav Kahana Le Rav Bibi Bar Abaye, which is, we're up to Boy Rav Bibi Bar Abaye, which is pretty much on the top of the Amud, line one. But that's Rav Chama. It's about 10 lines down from the top. There it is. Yeah, Boy Rav Bibi Bar Abaye. Okay, then. Okay, thank you very much.